missionaries, they're church planters, planted a church, and they're as evangelists. Steve's got a strong calling for evangelism, so yeah, that's why they're there. So, what's been going on in the past 9 months? Lots. I'll start from October 2006. In this year, in this month, I was just getting settled in, but lots of things happened as well. We started up a street evangelism every Thursday, and we'd go on this big long road called Avenida del Sol. It's in the centre, and we go with bread filled with jam or butter, and we go out with tea, and we'd go and preach the gospel. This was a really awesome time for me. It was just like the first month, and as I was speaking, in over the time that we'd done, three people gave their life to Christ while I was speaking to them, and for me this was just amazing, and to see someone give their life, and that's three more people in the kingdom of heaven, and this was just amazing. Also, I was teaching drums every Wednesday. There was one point where I was teaching from 9 in the morning till 6 at night and had like 20 minutes for lunch, so that was quite a hectic day. I also taught in a Danish school. Steve helped out with this. I did music on Thursdays with them, and on Friday Steve would do woodwork. So this was October, but also a couple of major things happened that were really awesome. That's what I wanted to tell you about. This guy here is a prophet from America. His name's Gordon. And this was a time that was just incredible. This, he came to lead the evening service on a Sunday. And as you can see, the church was packed out. So that was really awesome. On a cell group or a home group one night, he was leading it, and this is something I'd never seen before, and this is something that for the first time that I was there just really struck me. We were singing songs, and then he started to lead it. He said a bit about himself, and then he just stopped. And he was having a conversation with God as we were just sitting there. We were just sitting, waiting for him to stop. And he was just talking with God, and it was just amazing. And then he came out, and he came out of the conversation, and he said, "Is there someone in the room whose cousin can't walk?" And he hasn't met one person in the cell group, not one person. And one of the guys, Rodolfo, he said, "Yeah, I've got a cousin." And he said, he was telling him about the past. And four generations back, there was witchcraft in the family. And there was a spell put on for four generations in time. And this his cousin had got it. And he couldn't walk. And this was still a bit weird because he's never seen this guy before. And then he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I heal him." But he can see at all. He can see his cousin. He went the next day, and he brought his cousin to the church, and he could walk. And this is something that really hit me, just to start off. Second thing that was really awesome, we did a Halloween party. We had about 120 kids this night, and we were dressed up in funny costumes and made fools of ourselves. So we did games, we did singing, dancing. Steve. He did magic, Christian magic. And in the background, you can see he's got a paintboard, and he'd do a kid's story on the paintboard from the Bible. I wonder who that is on the right. that was a good night. That's John Michael on the left, a good friend. This was a really good night, just seeing all the kids have a good time. and it was just another awesome time. Yeah. So we move on to November. This was really awesome. We had a pastor from Argentina come and stay with us for a week, and we set up a three-day evangelism project. We rented out a square in the center, and over 300 people gave their lives to Christ in the 3 days. We had leaflets, and they'd sign them, and then we'd catch them up. More than 800 people would have come just to watch, and once, you never know, it's in God's hands that when someone's just seen it, maybe that seed's sown deep in mature soil, so pray that it would have grown. So in this night we did mime, we did worship, we did paintings, the paint that Steve does, evangelism. Pastor Pablo preached. We saw a number of people being healed that night, which was another strong thing to see. It was, because you just read about it in the Bible, about healings happening, and you're thinking, oh, that's in the old times. But to see it on the streets in front of you, someone that can't hear or can't walk, just to see that, it's just amazing. And again, when we had the prophet, that was just something to... And then we had leaflets, and that's where they'd write it. So this is just... Also, every Saturday, me, Steve, and John Michael, we'd go into another square, a bit further away from the centre, and we'd go with the paint board that Steve does, and we'd do some evangelism there. And again, me and John Michael would lead a couple of songs, and then that would gather people around, unless they're put off by our singing. And then Steve would do a story, a simple story, nothing too hard-hitting, but also getting the message across straight and direct. This was really amazing time as well. This guy in particular was really interested. He was asking questions after. So this was really good time to see people. This is the main thing that was the best. This was the highlight of my time in Peru. We started up in January 2007. This is World Vision. It's an organization from Australia. And we worked with them, and we set up a food project. And this would be every Saturday in the place called Margen Derecha. And this is up on the mountains. This is the poorest area of Cusco. And we did it in three places, one each Saturday. The first place was Alto Wimpiay, and here we'd have 80 or more kids. The second place was Viva Peru, and we'd have between 100 and 150. The biggest we had was 170, and that was just amazing. That's a lot of kids. And the third place, this is our littlest group, it's called Arawai. And here we'd just be doing like the typical kids club with games, worship, dancing, food, activities, story, and at the end we'd show a film. The food was cooked by some of the mothers in the area. It was a community that it was in, and they volunteered to cook every Saturday. So the first place is Alto Wimpiay. This is the kind of place that we're working with. As you can see, the houses aren't made of brick, they're made of mud brick. This is straw and mud combined, and it's put in a mould and set in the sun until it dries. And this is what all the houses are made of up there. So this is how far away from the city we are. This is just the end of the game. The food was, this day it was fish, lentils and rice. Second place was Viva Peru. This is the biggest group. This was really awesome for me, because I've got a natural calling for working with kids, and just to see how many kids we'd be getting each Saturday, it was just amazing. It was, these kids have got absolutely nothing, and just to see their faces each Saturday, and because there's a crazy gringo. Gringo is the word for a white person. There's a crazy gringo there every Saturday. It was fun. It was really nice. Just tell you about some stuff that happened every week. This is the church. The bottom right hand corner. It's called Comunidad Cristiana del Maestro. A community of Christians as the maestro. This job. Teacher, yeah. So. And we'd meet here every Sunday. And I would get about... when I was first there, in the first few months, there was maybe 6-7 regular attenders. And now there's not many. So it's grown since I've been there, which is really nice to see. It's been really nice to see how each individual in the church has been able to grow in their faith as well. And for me, this is really nice, because just to see them growing and having a more stronger passion for serving God. So me and Araceli would lead the worship. This would last for about an hour. And then Steve would preach for about 45 minutes. And this would be regular every Sunday. That's the offering box, by the way. It just flashed. each week we'd have two cell groups. We'd have one in Stephen Araceli's house. And this would just be like normal home groups. We'd do singing, and then Steve would lead. We're doing different courses each week. So one would be Steve's house, and another one would be in a lady called Celine's house. And this is really was really awesome to see as well, because it's really hard for people in Peru to open up their homes, because they don't like that they haven't got much, so sometimes they're embarrassed. And this was, I was really close with these people. It was really nice, to see them grow in their faith as well, because when you're in a smaller group, you get to know each other stronger, and it was just really nice to see them grow in their faith. And this is something Steve's talking about getting the church to the people in the church to open up their homes and to get more cell groups in, because it's a good way of them bringing their friends as well. This we did on my last Saturday. We did a special concert, and this was, I invited all my friends, and this was really awesome. We had the worship band, us, and we had another one, and we had about 60 people that night. This was really awesome, because we had some new people come to Christ and stuff. I just want to talk about some of the problems in Cusco. Cusco, as you saw, was 89% Roman Catholic, and that's true for the whole of, well, most of South America. Here you talk about worshipping other gods, like putting and music or sport. Here in Cusco, there's these real idols in the taxis. Every taxi you're going, more or less every taxi, might be the odd one, would have this little symbol. And there's three main ones: Señora de Huanca, Señora de Milagros, which is Lord of Miracles, and Señora de Temblores. And this is Lord of Tremors. There was a earthquake in Cusco, and they believe that when it stopped, that it was this idol that stopped it. There's a lot of worshipping other gods, a lot of Inca gods that are worshipped. And there's a lot of satanic cults that will roam the streets with, the cassette tape, the actual tape, and they would go and curse streets. And we'd go and pick it up sometimes. And this is some real some strong problems. This is a place called Señora de Huanca. The actual, there's a building that we went and saw, and people engrave their names on the walls so they get cleaned, so they get healed. And when you walked in here, you really felt a cold presence. This is one of the idols. This is the Señora de Huanca, the bottom one. That's the actual painting, and this thing is encasted all in solid gold, and it's worth a lot of money. People once a year walk from. We went here on motorbikes, and it took us about an hour and a half. And people walk here on their knees, and as they're coming, they get whipped, and they whip themselves, and they put themselves on crosses with like cactus, and they think that this is it will save them. And so this happens once a year, and they walk here, and they. But this is, yeah, something you don't see in Stevenish, and this is what. Really, this was hard just to see this. It was quite strong. This is memory. This is the Señora de Temblores. And again, there's a. In the time of Easter here, it's called Holy Week. And to start off with it, they have this. And you'll hear people saying, let's go see Jesus. Jesus is in the center. And it's like, just to see this. And this is carried throughout the whole of the, round the whole of the centre of Cusco. And literally the whole, you'll see the whole population of Cusco, like Cusco centre, in the Plaza de Armas, it's the centre. This is in a place called Sacsayhuaman. Cusco's in the shape of Pima, and this is the head of the Puma. And again, once a year, they come here and then they worship. This is the Inca gods that they're worshipping. Can you remember what they're called?
It's like Puma, Snake, and Eagle, I think.
Yeah, and that's what we come to worship, yeah. Just take this time. If you've got any questions, we can do that. I've gone quicker than I thought. That's right. So, any questions? Poverty.